to direct our attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 40. I'll begin reading with verse 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 8, and then 20 through 23. The word of the Lord is as follows. Sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended their royal master. Pharaoh became angry with these two officials, and he put them in the prison where Joseph was, in the palace of the captain of the guard. They remained in prison for quite some time, and the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, who looked after them. While they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they were both looked upset. "Why do you look so worried today?" he asked them. And they replied, "We both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean." "Interpreting dreams is God's business," Joseph replied. "Go ahead and tell me your dreams." Pharaoh's birthday came 3 days later, and he prepared a banquet for all his officials and staff. He summoned his chief cupbearer and chief baker to join the other officials. He then restored the chief cupbearer to his former position so he could again hand Pharaoh his cup. But Pharaoh impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had predicted when he interpreted his dream. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. Thus far, the word of the Lord. Pharaoh impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had predicted when he interpreted his dream. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. This is part 4 of our words along the way, and a subtitle for this one would be Out of Sight, Out of Mind. Out of sight, out of mind. The unfolding saga of God's work, the lives of Abraham's offspring, continues past Jacob and moves now into Joseph. A key part to the Joseph story is Potiphar's wife's false accusations, his imprisonment, his release, his interpreting Pharaoh's dreams, and his ascendancy to the position of prime minister of Egypt. It is during Joseph's time in Pharaoh's prison that he meets Pharaoh's cupbearer, who along with Pharaoh's baker have dreams that they can't understand. Joseph interprets both of them, which speak of their being released from prison, the chief baker being executed by Pharaoh, and the chief cupbearer surviving and continuing in Pharaoh's employ. Joseph's one request to the chief cupbearer was that he remembers Joseph and mentions him to Pharaoh. 3 days later, after they both have been released from prison on Pharaoh's birthday, Pharaoh impales the chief baker and restores the chief cupbearer. And the chapter ends with these words: Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. It is with these words that the Joseph story hits a major snag. 3 days prior, Joseph interpreted the dreams and simply asked to be remembered once the cupbearer was released. And with the cupbearer having experienced the fulfillment of Joseph's interpretation, one would think that the cupbearer would remember Joseph and put in a good word for Joseph. After all, we're not talking about 3 weeks, 3 months, or 3 years. We're only talking about 3 days. To be more specific, we're not even talking about 3 days. It was 3 days between Joseph's interpreting the dreams and their being released. On the day of being released and restored, the chief cupbearer forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. In one day, the cupbearer forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. The cupbearer represents those whose thoughtfulness, whose remembrance, whose mindfulness is episodic. Their remembrance of you and mindfulness are momentary and fleeting. For them, you are out of sight and out of mind. In other words, what is absent is soon forgotten. The thoughtlessness of the cupbearer threatens Joseph's hope for a release from prison. Because with the baker dead and the cupbearer forgetful, there is no one to plead Joseph's case before Pharaoh. And therefore, Joseph seems relegated to life in prison, which is far from the dreams that God had given to him years ago. What was Joseph? And what are we to think when we are victims of human forgetfulness? How do we interpret the purposes of God when those whom we thought would be used by God on our behalf seem to have forgotten us and never give us another thought? How do you deal with being out of sight and out of mind? Because, brothers and sisters, let me remind you that most people don't think about you as often as you think about yourself. You are not on everybody's mind as much as you think that you should be on their mind. And the question that comes to mind is, when you are not on their mind as you think you should be on their mind, how do you deal with it? Especially when you're out of sight and out of mind. Well, the first thing is that the text shows us is we should recognize that life is lived by divine purposefulness and not human mindfulness. Life is lived by divine purposefulness and not human mindfulness. The revelation of God's purpose for Joseph preceded Joseph coming into contact with the chief cupbearer. You see, Joseph's purpose was established before the cupbearer's entrance onto the stage, which means that it wasn't based on the cupbearer. The purpose was based upon the God who had established the purpose. And within the purpose of God, Joseph and the cupbearer meet when and where they meet. Joseph is with the cupbearer when the cupbearer has a dream that he can't understand. And the cupbearer is released in the time frame that the dream revealed. The cupbearer returns to Pharaoh's employ as God purpose. And while the cupbearer was forgetful, God was still purposeful. The forgetfulness of the cupbearer was timed with the purposefulness of God. And what we got to realize is the purposefulness of God did not tie Joseph's introduction to Pharaoh with the cupbearer being released. God tied Joseph's introduction to Pharaoh with Pharaoh's need. And the cupbearer would be an instrument, but the cupbearer was not the end. The end was Pharaoh. You got to think with me for a minute. The timing would be according to the need that Pharaoh would have for Joseph. I guess what I'm trying to let somebody know is when you live according to divine purpose, you come to discover the frailty of human mindfulness and that you can't depend upon the mindfulness or the thoughtfulness of people because they can have the best of intentions in a moment and then forget the moment. Circumstances and issues arise which claim priority and preeminence, and all of which can throw things off course if it was left up to human mindfulness. But my brothers and sisters, divine purpose provides the framing that includes the thoughtfulness and the thoughtlessness of people. Why? Because people are not the end. People are instruments to an end. And when people lose sight and therefore lose thought, God remains true to God's purpose and God's plan. God doesn't lose sight of you, and therefore God doesn't lose thoughts of you. God knows the plans that he has for you. God has seen every day of your life before any one of those days began. God knows where you're headed, when you are to get there, and who will be there when you arrive. God knows the circumstances and conditions that are right to necessitate your arrival and your reception. God will use human thought fullness, and God will use human thoughtlessness to either accelerate or decelerate to fit what God knows to be best. I think somebody needs to hear me say that again. God will use human thoughtfulness and thoughtlessness to either accelerate or decelerate to fit what God knows to be best. It's wonderful when God is using thoughtfulness to accelerate. But my brothers and sisters, God also uses human thoughtlessness to decelerate. That is to say, sometimes the purposes of God speed things up. And then sometimes the purposes of God slow things down. And yes, we do get excited when we are experiencing acceleration. But sometimes we have to be able to worship God when things are decelerated. Human forgetfulness does not forfeit divine purpose. The purpose of God is sure. Look at this. The cupbearer did not give Joseph another thought for 2 years. 2 years pass with the cupbearer not giving Joseph another thought. And it is then that Pharaoh has two dreams that Pharaoh can't understand. And the cupbearer overhears Pharaoh sharing his dilemma with the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. Now, you got to notice something, that with the passing of the 2 years, God keeps the cupbearer who has forgotten Joseph, he keeps him in Pharaoh's employ. while the cupbearer has forgotten about Joseph, God has not forgotten about the cupbearer and the cupbearer's role in Joseph's future. God keeps the cupbearer with Pharaoh. God maintains the cupbearer's favor with Pharaoh. God orders the cupbearer's steps such that the cupbearer is in place to overhear Pharaoh's conversation with the magicians and the wise men. And it is then that God arrests the cupbearer's recall. It is then that God reminds the cupbearer of his failure. It is then that the cupbearer remembers he and the baker having dreams that they could not understand. And it is then that he remembers Joseph interpreting their dreams, and their dreams came true. It's when Pharaoh had the need for Joseph that God brought Joseph back to mind. At the right time, at the opportune time, God, having kept the cupbearer close to Pharaoh, quickened the cupbearer's memory concerning Joseph. My friend, I need for you to understand this, and if you don't get anything else, you might want to get this one. Everyone who is attached to God's purpose for your life is under God's surveillance and protection. Everybody that is attached to God's purpose for your life is under God's surveillance and God's protection. They occupy the places that they occupy and are kept there even when they have no thought of you. While you're the furthest thing from their minds, it is what God has in mind for you that keeps them right where they are. Some people have no idea that they are being kept by God, by what God has in mind for you. The favor that they enjoy is tied to the purpose that God has for you. The ordering of their steps, the conversations that they overhear, has you in mind. And when the time is right, God brings you to mind. God puts you in their spirit. God has them look at your business card. And just as that is the case where God keeps and protects some other people with you in mind, so is God keeping you and protecting you for somebody else that God has in mind. We all are in the places that we occupy for the purposes of God that are greater than our individual selves, for somebody else in mind. And here it is, when the time is right, God brings you to mind so that you can be brought to sight. When the time is right, God brings you to mind so that you can be brought into sight. Look at it. By bringing Joseph back to mind, the stage was set for Joseph to come into sight. Joseph, at the beginning of chapter 41, Joseph is out of mind and he is out of sight. We are given the scene of the palace. Joseph is out of sight in the prison. And God brings Joseph back to the cupbearer's mind. And by reminding the cupbearer of what he'd forgotten, God sets the stage for Joseph, who is out of sight, to be brought into sight. When the cupbearer tells Pharaoh about Joseph, the Bible says Pharaoh sends for Joseph at once, and Joseph was quickly brought from the prison. I'll say that again. Pharaoh sends for Joseph at once, and Joseph was quickly brought from the prison. Did you hear the acceleration? With the cupbearer's forgetfulness, 2 years pass. That's deceleration. But with his remembrance, the Bible says Joseph is quickly brought from the prison. My friends, that's acceleration. I need for you to really understand that delay and acceleration are in the hands of one person, God. And the God whose purpose suffers delay is also the God whose purpose initiates acceleration. The God whose purpose suffered Joseph being hidden and out of sight and out of mind is the God whose purpose prompts the need for Joseph to come to mind and therefore to come to sight. Joseph is brought into sight for the purpose that only he can fulfill. You see, the need for Joseph to be seen creates the urgency for his coming into sight. The purpose of God creates the need for your coming to mind and therefore your coming into sight. Your coming into sight is for a purpose that only you can fulfill. There's a problem that only you can solve. There's a space that only you can fill. There's a question that only you can answer. And within the mind of God, God sees you and what his plan is for you. And when what he sees reaches its moment, you are then seen. When what he sees reaches its moment, you are seen. Why? Because you are seen based upon what God sees. I need somebody to grab a hold of that. You are seen based upon what God sees. Look at Joseph being brought into sight for what God has in mind. And while Pharaoh simply has interpreting his dreams in mind, God has more in sight for Joseph. God sees Joseph being more than one of the wise men of Egypt. God sees Joseph being the prime minister of Egypt. God sees Joseph being the one whose oversight of Egypt's prosperity and famine would provide for his father Jacob and his brother such that God's purpose for Judah might continue. God saw Joseph's prominence in Egypt being the context where Joseph's dreams would be fulfilled. In other words, what God had in mind to be seen surpassed what anybody had seen or had in mind. And my brothers and sisters, what God has in mind to be seen in and for you surpasses what anybody, including you, have in mind. Because truly, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of anyone what God good things God has prepared for those that love him. But it's the purpose of God that brings it to pass. The purpose of God makes it so. God brings to pass what God wants to be seen. And brothers and sisters, there is no person, there is no time, there is no delay that can stop God from bringing to pass what God wants to be seen. There is no conspiracy. There is no confederation. There is no scheme. There is no plot that can prevent what God wants to be seen. What is in the mind of God always comes to sight. What's in the heart of God always comes to pass. Do you not know that everything that exists began in the mind of God? And that from the mind of God, God brought everything into sight. Light and darkness came into sight. The heavens came into sight. Dry land came into sight. The separation of the waters came into sight. Birds of the air, beasts of the field, the fish that swim in the sea, all came into sight. And then, having humanity in his mind, God brought man and woman into sight. And having purpose and unhindered relationship with God, when humanity fell, God's purpose still remained true. The gospel tells us that God saw and purposed our redemption. God announced it in Eden and took over 70 generations and many attempts to block it and to subvert it and to obstruct it. But each time, God brought his purpose into sight, such that in a cold day, cold night in December, out in the Bethlehem hillside, in a messed up stable, God brought Jesus, Lord have mercy, the Word made flesh, into sight. And thereafter, he lived for 33 years. There on the cross, our salvation was brought into sight. Yes, it was an ugly scene, but right there in the ugliness of Calvary, God brought our salvation into sight. Now, brothers and sisters, sometimes it's not in the picturesque of environments. It's not in the perfectly painted scenes that God brings his purpose into sight. But there, out there on the cross, on a rugged hill, being wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, God brought our salvation into sight. The dying thief caught sight of it and said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." A Roman soldier caught sight of it when he said, "Surely this must be the Son of Almighty God." And then years, centuries later, a songwriter said, "I caught sight of it." He said, "It was at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day." Many of the disciples didn't get it on Friday. It took some days later, early Sunday morning, when God raised Jesus from the dead, brought him out of the obscurity of a borrowed tomb, brought him into the upper room that night, where he spoke peace unto the disciples. And the Bible says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He brought it into sight. And I'm so glad that I serve a God that is able to bring what he has in mind into sight. I'm glad that I know that I serve a God who says everything that I purpose, that I will see. God says everything that he purposes for my life, I will see. It does not matter if it's been on my mind, and it does not matter if it's left somebody else's mind. Every purpose that God has in store for me, I will see. He lets me know I will see every blessing. I will see every breakthrough. I will see every turnaround. I will see every moment of divine comfort. I will see every moment of correction. I will see every moment when God has established victory out of the jaws of defeat. God says, I will see every time when God says, in the midst of your darkness, I'll bring some light to you. I will see every time that I've been knocked down, God says, I will see him bring me back up.
He says, every time that they push you back, I will see him bring me back forward. And I wonder, am I talking to somebody who can testify, I'm so glad that I've seen what the Lord has in mind. And the good thing about what the Lord has had in mind for your life has been so much more than what you had in your own mind. I'm talking to somebody who can say, thank you, God, that you didn't leave it to what I had in my mind. And I want to thank you, God, that you didn't leave it to what somebody else had in mind for me. And I want to thank you, God, that you didn't leave it in what somebody else forgot about me. But God, I want to thank you for having me on your mind. I want to thank you for having me on your agenda. I want to thank you, God, for having me in your plan. And I want to thank you, God, that what you saw for me has been so much more than I saw for my life. I want to thank you, God, that when all that I could see was darkness, when all that I could see was a brick wall standing in front of me, you saw some light piercing the darkness, and you saw the walls crumbling down. You saw my advance, and you saw my triumph, even when I could not see it for myself. Thank you, God, for having me on your mind, and thank you, God, for having me in your sight. And I just want to let somebody know, I know it might be rough for you right now, and you might not be able to see the end that God has in mind, but one of these days, the faith will be sight. Lord, have mercy. Everything that God says, I want you to see, you will see it. As a matter of fact, I hear God saying, not only will you see it, but there will be some other eyes that will see what I have in mind for you. As a matter of fact, God says, there will be some circumstances where I'll even prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And what I have in mind, they will see. I'll anoint your head with oil, and I'll cause your cup to run over. They will see what I have in mind for you. Hallelujah. And so somebody, I just want you to know you're on the mind of God and you're in the sight of God. And if Joseph were here, he would tell you that God has not forgotten you. God has not lost sight of you. God has not developed amnesia. God does not have Alzheimer's or dementia. God remembers everything that God has said. And if God said that he will do it, it will come to pass. And so don't you be discouraged. God has not forgotten you. And you just keep on believing because God has not forgotten you. And since you know that you serve a God that has not forgotten you, don't you dare forget him. Don't you dare lose sight of him. As a matter of fact, put your mind on God right now and give God some praise for being the God who has you in his mind and for being the God that has you in his sight and for God having so much more than you have on your mind. Hallelujah. God has not forgotten you. God has not lost sight of you. God has not changed his mind concerning you. Everything God has purposed, everything God has planned, everything God has revealed, God says it will come to pass. It will become sight. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I want you to know what God has in mind. You will see.